Let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome to Bunce's Boxing Podcast ahead of a cracking weekend overseas and domestically as well. The man himself, Steve Bunce, is on the line. Hey, Steve, you well?
Fantastic, nice and ready.
Let's crack on with this, Buncey. We've got some great fights this weekend. I'm going to start off with a couple on the Box Nation bills. We'll start with your old favourite, Captain
Hook.
Marco Hook against Ola Afolobi. These two can't stay away from each other, can they? This will be the fourth time they've fought, and always very watchable, both of them. Ola Afolobi, 22-4, four draws as well. Never been stopped. 11 KOs in that record. Captain Hook, 38-3-1, his record. Been stopped twice himself and stopped 26 of his opponents. The odds show us 6-4 Afolobi. Hook, 8-15. The draw, 20-1. In previous encounters, and Hook's won two and there's been one draw, rightly or wrongly, I don't remember Hook being as big a price as this. He's usually a bigger favourite.
Yeah, he's usually a much bigger favourite. And for this one, I don't make him the favourite at all. Last time out, he got stopped. He had the fight in his hands against a guy called Glowacki. Ended up getting done in the 11th round, running out of steam, very un-Huck. Like, he was leading at the time, but he got done. He was gone. He got up and he went down very, very heavily. Afolobi last time out was sent to Russia as a sacrifice. Ended up smashing to bits the gold medalist from 2008, a guy called Rakhmonchakiev. Afolobi looks reborn. He looks much, much fresher, even though he's older than Huck. And I see this being Afolabi's turn. In many ways, he could have won two of the three, maybe even three of the three. One was a draw. That 20-1 draw price isn't bad, because every single one of the 36 rounds they fought so far has been hotly contested, to use a cliche. This one will be hard. It will be tight. It'll be tough. I just fancy Afolobi, and I tell you what, Lee, I fancy Afolobi in the last couple of rounds.
Right, okay. Well, he's 11-2 to stop Hook, which is a big enough price on its own. And if you're looking at rounds 10, 11, or 12, 16-1, Muncie. 16?
I think that's a nice bet. I think that's a terrific bet.
It'll do me if it lands. So it's interesting. Some people might just be happy with the 6-4 that he wins full stop. But 11-2 the stoppage, then 16-1 in those rounds specified by Buncey there. Also on Box Nation, into the early hours of the morning, we've got Terence Crawford fighting for the WBO World Super Lightweight title. That's against Henry Lundy. Crawford 27-0, 19 stoppages in there. Lundy 26-5-1. He's been stopped once himself and stopped 13 of his opponents. He was stopped by John Molina Jr. back in 2010. Lost two of his last three, Lundy. And he comes into this as the overwhelming outsider. 1-25 Crawford. Lundy 10-1 the draw, 25-1. Is he as chanceless as the bookies have him there, Buncey?
I think he is as chanceless as the bookies have him now. He's a good fighter, but I think Crawford's a special fighter. And apart from that that stoppage, the Molina stoppage, Lundy's fights have been controversial. He thinks he's unbeaten apart from the stoppage, which he disputes, because he's
most
one of those,
do, don't they?
Disputes everything. Yeah, no, he really does. I think it's a hard and a tight fight. And I think that Crawford, because it's going to be in New York in the basement at Madison Square Garden, I think he's going to get sucked into a hard fight here. I think he'll win, Crawford. I think he'll win very well. I think he'll win in about 5, 6, or 7 rounds, maybe even 8. But I think it'll be a competitive and a really hard fight until that point. And Lundy genuinely believes, hand on heart, he'll have too much natural power. So I'm going Crawford, and I think he'll stop Lundy, but I think it'll be one of those really hard fights. And Crawford's been in them before. He had that against Gamboa a couple of years ago, even the Beltran fight. Was tight. Crawford can go into the trenches. I think he'll stop Lundy. I think it'll be a terrific fight.
To the MEN Arena for a really good card, obviously topped by Frampton Quigg, which we'll come on to. There are a lot of belts up for grabs underneath them. Some proper belts and some not so proper belts, but they're all belts. And I'm not fighting for any of them, nor have I trained hard enough to do so. So Gavin McDonald versus Jorge Sanchez is one of the ones that... we've got a few extra prices on here, Buncey. I mean, it's a short price for McDonald, 1-14. Jorge Sanchez is priced up at 7-1. Is it as open and shut as that, you think? This is for the vacant WBC Silver Super Bantamweight title. Sanchez is unbeaten, 15-0. McDonald, 14-0 with four stoppages. He loves a distance fight, McDonald, doesn't he?
Yeah, and this one's got distance fight written all over it. Terrific. He loves the rounds, and he puts the rounds in so he can benefit later on. He wins on points. He wins over the full distance. 12 rounds or 10, Lee? Was it 12 or 10?
It's a 12-rounder, I believe. I'll double-check that while we talk about the next one.
There was a problem with paying out with some bookies. Outrageous. When David Hay stopped
it. That was different, wasn't it?
It was really bizarre.
I had some of the traders from William Hill just actually texting me and saying, you know, how long is this? Because it was all over the place. Some people said 12, some 10. Always worth checking, as Bunsey says. It can make a huge difference.
But it makes no difference here. It goes 4, 6, 8, 10 or 12, but it goes points. That's what I'm convinced, anyway.
Yeah, 4 to 6, McDonald to win on points, which is a nice... steady bet to put in an acca. Isaac Lowe versus Marco McCulloch is a fight here that the William Hill traders have priced up and put a few extra markets on, Buncey. It's a tight one as well. We don't often get 8 to 11, 11 to 10 shots. It's Isaac Lowe who's the favourite. The draw 18 to 1, and Marco McCulloch is the 11 to 10 just outside of here for the vacant Commonwealth featherweight title. This is the belt that Josh Warrington held, I believe,
the Commonwealth one,
which he will have vacated. Isaac Lowe fighting out of Morecambe, so relatively local. His record is 11-0 for stoppages. Marco McCulloch from Belfast, 14-2-0. He's been stopped once himself. In fact, he was stopped about three fights ago by Zoltan Kovac. Really interesting domestic dust-up this one, Buncey, isn't it? And the bookies have got it tight. It's a hard one to split. Could be an absolute cracker to watch.
Yeah, I think it's a terrific little fight. Isaac Lowe, I've known him for a long while. He's extremely tough, very, very hard. And Marco McCulloch is a good fighter. He got it wrong when he got stopped. Added up his numbers wrong on that particular night. I think there's just a little bit more grade with McCulloch, and I just fancy him over the distance. Wouldn't be at all surprised if I got this one drastically wrong, but I just fancy McCulloch over the distance.
Yeah, tight. Well, might be one just to sit back and enjoy as an hors d'oeuvre for the big one that night, which is, of course, Carl Frampton versus Scott Quigg. For all those people who say we never get the fights we want, we've finally got this one. And the fighters want it, the promoters want it, the trainers are up for it. 8-13, Carl Frampton, the jackal, to beat Scott Quigg. Quigg is 11-8. Go on.
You know what his nickname was originally?
No, right. Go on.
Dreadful. Brick Fist. When I first interviewed him on... Oh, no,
you've got to be careful with that as well, haven't you?
BBC London. No, you've got to say it really slowly. Brick Fist. Sorry.
Yeah, that's great.
That makes me chuckle.
Great bit of trivia. This is the IBF World Super Bantamweight title, the WBA Super World Bantamweight title. They've both had those belts wrapped around their necks at the press conferences. Quigg's record, 31-0-2. Frampton, 21-0-0, 14 stoppages for Frampton, 23 stoppages for Quigg. There's a couple of fighters that they share. The most notable one, I guess, here, Buncey, is Kiko Martinez, who Scott Quigg had a sensational result against Kiko Martinez, which if this fight was going to happen anyway, but it's kind of added a bit more spice to it because Kiko Martinez, although let's not mince our words, Frampton, you know, was fantastic against. Since then, the Chris Avalos fight stopped him, and then we had the Alejandro Gonzalez Jr. fight in El Paso when he touched the canvas, he was down, and he maybe had a little bit of fortune coming through it, and he had some nightmares going to El Paso.
Yeah, El Paso was all wrong from the start for me. It was the summer. El Paso's hot. I've been there in August. I mean, it's one of those you walk off the plane and your shoes melting into the tarmac. So to fight there in mid-July, I always thought was bizarre. And because all fighters, especially super bantams, especially world-class super bantams, they're struggling with the weight. It doesn't mean they can't make the weight. That means the last pound or 2 pounds is really hard. Now, if you go somewhere as hot as El Paso, in July, your intake of water will have to increase. Now, if your intake of water increases, that gives you more weight to lose. So I always thought there was a slight problem with it. It didn't make any sense to me. However, Carl got dropped twice in the first and then benefited from the fact that Gonzalez got deducted a couple of points for low blows. So, he would have won Carl without the deduction, but that just made it clearer. as opposed to it being a bit tighter. Carl blamed a couple of things. First of all, he said the canvas was soft. Well, if the set canvas was soft, the people that you're traveling with should have picked up on that the day before the fight or on the day of the fight and changed it, like the Fury clan did 6 hours before the fight with Klitschko last November in Dusseldorf. And the second thing Carl blamed it on, and this is kind of a bizarre one, but I see what he means, is that he made his way to the ring. There was no adrenaline, no buzz, because there was a few hundred people in there. It was in the afternoon in Texas. And, of course, he's used to walking out in Belfast. Even when he fought in front of 600 people at a leisure centre in Belfast, the crowd lifted him. But he's used to fighting in front of between 8,000 and about 20,000 people in Belfast. And they lifted him. They said it didn't get him going. Of course, that's not going to be a factor on Saturday night, that you're going to get a massive lift, maybe too much of a lift. Like, no problem with a canvas, because they'll make sure they're out checking the canvas. And apart from the hoo-ha surrounding the dressing room, in theory, there'll be no problems. So he should have the correct amount of adrenaline as he makes his way to the ring. So I'm not really that worried about what really happened in Texas. And I have to reject, and I've always done this, I have to reject the idea that he'll be struggling at the weight. Scott Quigg at the weigh-in looked really drained. But all top quality fighters in all weights apart from heavyweight look drained at weigh-ins. That's what they do. However, if when the fight's finished and one of them has faded drastically and it's blamed on weight loss, then, you know, someone needs to hold their hands up and say, yes, I fibbed. He couldn't make the weight. Because at the moment, both of them are on record as saying, I make the weight comfortably. You can't say that at press conferences. You can't say that in build-ups to fights that people are having to pay extra money for. It's a pay-per-view. And then afterwards say, actually, yeah, I have been struggling with the weight. That's called lying.
Yeah.
It is. That's what it is. If people have bought into this fight because they believe both fighters can make the weight and both fighters will be fit for the night, that's why they bought into it. If I try and sell this fight this way, watch these two fighters. One of them's comfortable at 8 stone 10, but the other one, boy, he's absolutely dead at the weight. It takes the last 6 days. He can't eat a single thing. He's weight drained and he's dead on the night. I couldn't sell a fight that way. So that's why I have to say that there are no problems with either of them making the weight. So I'm not buying into any weight factors. They both look drained and dry on the scales, because that's what super bantam weights look like when they get on the scales. Let's end the weight argument.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. They both can hit. They're both skilled. They both can go the distance. What is it to separate these two fighters, Bunsey?
What's going to separate them? Very little. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
Very little. Quigg's got a better jab, possibly. Quigg's maybe got a slightly heavier right hand, possibly. Frampton certainly can throw better short hooks, body hooks and stuff inside. Frampton's got a good boxing brain. Has he got a better boxing brain than Quigg? Possibly. He's got the pedigree. You know, he's been in with double Olympic champion Zhu Shiming. He's got the amateur top-level pedigree. Scott Quigg, we know, left school, was expelled, stroke left school and asked the headmaster if he could leave early and go and become a professional boxer and win a world title. That's not a joke. That's absolutely true. Scott Quigg did a lot of kickboxing. When he was younger, you know, he's very competitive as a 13, 14-year-old. So Frampton's got maybe the edge in boxing, but, you know, boxing skills, perhaps the edge. Neither of them are short in the heart department. Mm. Both of them have got good chins. Both of them have got great stamina. There's very little.
Quigg says, he said this at the press conferences, that that Frampton, you know, boils over. He loses his rag too easily. Is that Quigg obviously sees that as being a weakness. Frampton will look to use that. I mean, he is more fiery than Quigg. That's fair enough. Quigg is pretty level as far as we know, isn't he?
Yeah, Quigg keeps very calm. But it's going to be very hard for either of them to be very calm. I mean, the press conference yesterday boiled over with some fantastic profanity, glorious profanity. The weigh-in was tense. There was nearly a fight between the two trainers. And I mean nearly a fight. I don't mean they pushed each other. I'm talking about this nearly went off. It's going to be really hard for both of them to maintain a cool. They'll both say, oh, we can maintain a cool. It's going to be hard. It's going to be really hard. And that first minute is going to be very interesting. Frampton does fight with his heart out on his sleeve, but he's not foolish. He's just passionate.
Yeah.
a Quigg fight. Don't worry, Quigg's been hurt and stunned. And we talk about the Martinez fight with Quigg. He was gone in the first round in that fight.
People forget that, don't
they? Now, part of that was because he wanted to do a better job than Frampton. Now, that, as far as I know, is letting your heart rule your head.
Mm-hmm.
So don't worry, they're both guilty of showing excessive passion and raw emotion in the ring, and that's part of it tomorrow. I mean, as much as I fancy it goes 12, as much as I fancy it's tight, if it ended in 53 seconds, I would not be shocked.
Let me throw a few prices at you, Buncey, and see which any of these that you like. Okay, so we've got we're giving you the actual fight prices. Quigg the outsider, 11-8. Frampton, 8-13. The draw, 20-1. Method of results, Frampton by stoppage, 5-2. Quigg by stoppage, 13-5. Frampton by decision is 7-4. Quigg by decision is 9-2. A few specials here as well. I'll throw these out at you. Carl Frampton to be knocked down in the fight, 13-8. Quigg to be knocked down, 7-4. Both fighters to have a count from the ref, 15-2. Quigg to win in the first 60 seconds, 80-1. Frampton to win in the first 60 seconds, 100-1. Then we've got a few nice ones here as well. If you think there's going to be a stoppage, you can have the first half of the fight. So this is either fighter to win. The fight to only go between rounds 1 and 6, 11-4. For the fight to finish in round 7 to 12 is 9-4. And for either fighter to win on points, remember the draw could chin you, 4-5. So if you're absolutely convinced this is a points decision either way, 4-5 for it to go to points.
That's a good bet.
Well, to be won on points, should I say. Because if it's a draw, you wouldn't pick up your winnings.
Listen. You know, if it gets out of the first round, I think it goes to 12.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, if one of them ends up stopping the other in 4 or 5 rounds because the loser has done something wrong, i.e. he's gone full blazing, he's gone out too fast, he's let his head rule his heart, oh gosh, that would be terrible, because that would actually, in my opinion, exclude any chance of what I think will happen, which is a second fight.
Yes.
The second fight is, it can only happen if it's a hard first fight.
Yeah.
Bear in mind, Lee, a second round knockout can be a hard fight up until that point.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to, you know, in a 12 round fight doesn't necessarily have to be close. It can be a shutout. So, listen, it is great. It's fantastic. The hate's genuine. There's no phony or fake war here. And once that bell sounds, everyone will be sitting down at ringside, segregated, and we'll see what happens. I just fancy Carl Frampton on point, very tight, possibly controversial.
Buncey, thank you very much, as ever. Great to get your previews of those fights. We'll be back again in a couple of weeks' time to preview the next set of decent domestic and international dust-ups. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy Captain Hook's latest appearance.
Ah, Luke.
I know you will. Thanks very much, Buncey.
Lee, thank you.
Yeah, thanks to Buncey, and thank you to you for downloading the podcast. If you're having a bet on any of the markets that we've discussed, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.